Right, so I want to speak this week. I want to try to cover a large and critical topic, which are two interconnected topics. One topic is where one should light the Hanukkah candles, and the second question is the timing of the lighting of the Hanukkah candles. And we'll see very shortly why those two topics are interconnected. So let's begin with the location of the lighting of the candles. We'll digress to deal with the timing. And then we'll come back to the location. We'll finish off the timing. That's how we're going to do it. Just okay. So first, we'll start with the Gemara Masechet Shabbat, Bamei Medlikin, Kafalav Amud Bet. So the Gemara says in the second arrow, right? Tanu Rabbanan, Ner Chanukah Mitzvah LaNicha Al Petach Beito MiBachutz. The mitzvah of Ner Chanukah is to place it on the doorway, on the outside of the doorway, right? Im Hayah Dar BaAliyah MaNicha B'Chol. Let's say you live on the second floor, you live. You don't have a doorway. You don't have a doorway either to the chatzer or to the street. The question: why would someone? I mean, you have to get out of your house somehow. So some explain that it means that the stairwell. You know, even though there's a stairwell leading into the chatzer, that's not really associated with this house. Maybe he shares the stairwell with others. Right, the Beit Yosef explains no, it's because he has a stairwell going through into somebody else's house, which is mashma that a stairwell in and of itself doesn't interpose between the Ner Chanukah and the person's house. But again, the key is to put it al petach beito. If a person doesn't have a petach beito for whatever reason, right, he should put it manicha b'chalon, a smuchal rishud rabim. He should put it in a window facing the street. Okay, v'bishata sakana manicha al shulchano v'dayo. And if you're not able to put it in a public place, there's a sakana. This is probably related. I mean, it's a brayta. If there's any gzera, you're not allowed to light Hanukkah candles, or perhaps if there's a blackout or something like that, a curfew or something like that. So you put it on your table, and that's sufficient. So in other words, how are we to piece this together? So just to understand, the key feature of the mitzvah hadlakat ner Hanukkah is pirsumei nisi, so it's to publicize the miracle. So ideally, you should publicize the miracle to as many people as possible, to the Bnei Rashid Rabim, to the people in the street. If you're not able to do so, so then you'll publicize the miracle for the people in the house. Right? That's the basic idea. So again, we see three levels. The most ideal is to put it on the doorway outside the house. Next level is put it in the window. And third level is you put it on the table. So presumably if a person lives in an apartment where they don't have any window to the street, or they don't have any window to place, other people see the menorah, without getting into too many details just yet, they would be considered to be the equivalent of a shata sakana. So therefore, they would be manichol shulchano vedayo. Right? A key observation, the first level, putting it on the doorway on the outside, there's no mention of any need, for instance, to put it within the door frame with the door open such that the people in the house should be able to see it. That's not mentioned as a requirement. Sounds like there's no requirement that the people in the house should be able to view the menorah at all from inside the house. Sounds like the key presume nisa is for the people outside. Presume nisa for the people inside the house is just a fallback position. So we'll see how that develops. Okay, there's another gemara on page 2. Amar Rabba, Ner Chanukah mitzvah lanicha betefach hasamuch lapetach. Right, so it's not enough to place it on or in the doorway. It has to be within a tefach of the doorway itself. So you can't place it more than a tefach away from the doorway on the outside of the house, because then presumably it's no longer associated. It's no longer associated with the house. Right? Rashi says it's not nikar that the Baal HaBayit lit the menorah. And the question is, Hecha manachle, Rav Acha Breid, Rav Ava, Amar Miyamin, Rav Shmuel, Bidifti, Amar Mismol. We should put on the right hand or the left hand side of the door. Hilchot Amismol. We should put on the left hand side. Why? Kadesh Yener Chanukah Mismol, Mezuzah Miyamin. It should be on the left hand side, so it should be opposite the Mezuzah. The Shiltot refers to the idea of walking through the Petach while wearing a garment with tzitzit, and the Chutam Bibshah Shalom Mimrah Yenatek, the threefold protection of the menorah, the Mezuzah, and the tzitzit. Here in the Gemara, just says it should be opposite the mezuzah. Okay, so this is what we have. This is what we have in the Gemara. So now we're going to see in many places, certainly Chachmei Ashkenaz, even many Sfardim, for whatever reason, and we're going to have to discuss that, they were not lighting in the street. They were not lighting in the street. And in fact, many didn't even light it in the window. As the minhag, many, many rishonim said everywhere, Tosfot already says it on the Gemara, they were not lighting in the street. So therefore, they lost entirely the presumei nisa for the bnei rishut the rabbi. Now, there's many explanations given for that. You can see it on Tosfot, Dibron Chaldei on Kafal from that. We're going to come back to that Tosfot. But they were not lighting it. They were not lighting it in the street, presumably because they felt it was dangerous to do so. Other explanations include that they lived in windy countries, the wind would blow out the menorah, so you have to get a glass case. Did Chazal envision having a glass case? The Aruch HaShulchan says, you're not mechuyev to spend the money to get a glass case. Many, many different attempts to explain. Presumably, they thought it was dangerous, they was inviting a pogrom. But the question that we're going to deal with is, A, was that the minhag in Teman? Was that the minhag in Teman? And B, what are the ramifications of this minhag if it is followed? So the first ramification, and we're going to try to figure out what they did in Teman based on how the poskim analyzed the ramifications. I don't know if that's clear, but as we go through, we'll see that it becomes clear. First ramification is, again, obviously the placement of the menorah. So we said they lit it inside. So if you look in the Darkei Moshe, page 3, quote to Machloke, Shin Chachme Ashkenaz, right? As follows, because of Maril, Shanizhar Lanicha Batefach Hasamuch LaPetach. The Maharil would place the Chanukah menorah inside the house, but nevertheless he would place it next to the doorway. This is on page 3, next to the doorway. On the inside of the house. Abagav Deidna Madlikin Bifnim. Vechen Kadav Marai Bichon Adadeshen. Abizan Zeh Adlik Batefach Samuch LaPetach Bismol. Im Yesh LaPetach Mizah, Im Ein Lo Adlik Biyamin, Virai Mordechai, etc. Abizan Zeh Adlik Batefach Samuch LaPetach. Chen mashma kaman midivrei tur omnam midivrei agod mara prag shekatavti liel mashma dein lachush. So the Rama basically quotes a machloket about this, and about whether you have to light in the door next to the doorway if you're lighting on the inside of your house. Again, even if your minhag is you usually light for the rishut rabim, but this could be very relevant if you have. I once lived in an apartment where I had no window or anything that was visible to the street or even clearly visible to people in other buildings. So there the question would be, so I should presume it should be Manichol Shulchan of Adayo, the Gemara says. But yet, here that we have a question that maybe I should put it next to the doorway. Maybe I should push it next to the doorway. What's the Machloket? So presumably, we can say very simply that the Machloket here in the Darkei Moshe is there an independent halacha that the Gemara said you have to put the menorah next to the door, next to petach should be opposite the mezuzah, right? Is there an intimate that should be opposite the mezuzah? It's a special kiyum, like we said from the shiltot, you can walk through with the tzitzit. It's a special kiyum, a special inyan of having it at the door. No, it's not. There's no special independent halacha to put it next to the door. It's just if you're putting it next to the door for pirsume nisa for the outside, you may as well sort of also. Get this idea of having it opposite the mezuzah, but there's no independent concept of doing so. That's presumably the question. Of course, we can immediately ask to say that there's an inyan to put it across the petach if you do it inside. So then the Gemara said in Bishata Sakana Manicha Shulchan Ovedayo, you put it on the table. The Gemara should have said Bishata Sakana, you put it next to the door, right? The Gemara never said that. So presumably we can give many answers we could give to this. But you could say that the Gemara says that even if I can't put it, even if I put it on the table, I'm yotze b'di'evad, b'di'avad. I'm yotze b'di'avad if I didn't put it next to the door. That could be one way. Or you could say that the Gemara wanted to let you know that you're allowed to put it on your table, even though this is she'ela, that you may be getting benefit from the lights. When it's on your table, it's not a problem because you'll have another light, is what the Gemara says. Or you could say that we're talking the idea of putting it. We could say that the sakana was so great that they couldn't even put it at the door, right? They couldn't even put it there either because they had the doors open. The Torah refers to such a minhag and putting it at the door with the door open, so they would say, or because there was a rule that you couldn't light Chanukah candles. So if you have a candle on your table, nobody's going to think it's a Chanukah candle, right? So, but if you put it at the doorway, everyone's going to be like, what? The goyim are going to be like, what is that? And they're gonna get you in trouble. The Taz says like that they lit it on the table because even putting it on the door was dangerous, even on the inside of the house. They had, I guess, secret police would break in and discover that you were doing the mitzvah. That So that's the machloket. What's the psak halacha? So the Rama paskins in page 4, and I'm not sure the Inward disagrees. He says, Miu, bisman zeh shekolan madlikim bifnim, ein hekher lebnei yeshu lebnei klal, ein lachush kol kach im madlikim betevach zemul ha-petach, mikol mekom ha-minhag ladlik betevach zemul ha-petach, kemo bimehem ve-ein lashanot. In other words, the Rama says it's not an obligation. It's not an obligation to light it next to the door, but it's good to do so. Just to contextualize, the Mishnah Berurah makes it clear that even though the minhag is to light it inside, if you have a window facing the street, and presumably there's no danger in lighting it in the window, that's better than putting it next to the door. In other words, the idea of putting it next to the door, it doesn't trump putting it in the window when the window faces the street. Ideally, again, pursuing Issa for the Bnei Rishon LeRabim, but b'diavad, if you have to put it inside with no pursuing Issa for the Bnei Rishon LeRabim, you should try to put it next to the door. I just point out parenthetically that Rav Mordechai Willig once told me that he prohibits everybody from putting the Hanukkah menorah next to the door because it's a fire hazard. Right? So if you know Rabbi Willig, that's very typical psak. You know, so I once had the idea of putting it in a glass box next to the door. Oh. In order not to be any danger. And again, it's a tefach samuch lepetach, presumably, which is right next to the door. So you have to really be careful that you're absolutely sure there's no danger that anyone's going to knock it over. So that's Rabbi Willig's point, and it's very, very well taken. You know, it could be that in their time they were much more used to fire safety. You know, then again, you know, the cities seem to burn down all the time also. So maybe it was kind of like, you know, there's going to be candles everywhere and there's going to be houses burning down, so like we're not going to not do the mitzvah because of that chashash rachok. I don't know, but that's an interesting question. Okay, so that's the lay of the land, so to speak. Okay, so what do we say about this? So take a look in the Shtilei 18 on page 6. So luckily in Hilchot Chanukah we have the fancy Shtilei 18 where I actually have something to show you. I can show you on page 6, as you can see in the Hagahot HaMeshumatot section, HaMushmatot section, the Shtilei Zeitim cut out this entire Ramah. The idea of lighting inside, the idea of Tevach Samuch LePetach, he cut out the whole thing. The whole thing. So what does that tell you? Well, you could say that he cut it out because he holds like the Maharami Prag, that there's no reason to put it next to the door if you're lighting inside. But really, we do light inside. You could try to claim that. That's a little bit... It's more likely that you cut out the Ramah because our minhag is that we light it in a way that you can see it from the outside. We'll soon see how there's just to show you where what we're dealing with. Take a look in the Hagahot HaAharon, being on the next page, on the previous page, page 5, the bottom. They put out that whoever put it out, the editors gave Harod. He says b'teman al kol b'nim b'irsana nagul adlik meknisat avayit bifnim chadrei migrim ayu derech chal b'kumah shniya. They used to light it in the doorway on the inside. That's what they say here. And that's from the previous generation. So, in a sense, we're a little bit pushing against the consensus. They're saying, in the 20th century, late 19th century, these people are familiar. The minhag was lighted inside, next to the door, on the inside. Interesting, they lived on the second floor, and they lit it downstairs. But the downstairs was also part of their house. I read in Halichot Teiman that the kids used to have, like, Hanukkah parties in like the hallway next to the Hanukkah menorah, you know, which the adults wouldn't have any parties. We spoke about that last week, that the adults didn't have special su'udot for Hanukkah. There was no minhag. Hanukkah was like a regular day, except that you said halal and lit candles. Except the kids used to make Hanukkah parties, and they used to eat a lot of carrots. We spoke about that the last time, probably because it was the carrot season, right? So he leaves out the whole thing, and I'm gonna suggest that that's because their minhag was to light it, outside. Or al kol panim, and I'm going to try to bring proof for this. Even if they lit it in the doorway on the inside, the door was open. That's a minhag referred to in the tour. So there was pirsuminis of the Rishud Rabim, and therefore this halacha of the Ramah was irrelevant. That's what I'm going to suggest. I'm going to see if we can demonstrate that further as we go along. Okay. So one nafkamina is the place, obviously directly discussing the place of lighting itself. Next nafkamina is v'alachav chashad. If you look in the Torah on page 7, he quotes from the Gemara. Chatzer shesh la shnei p'tachim mishtei ruchot, tzarech ladlik mishnei p'tachim, shelo yachshedu ha'ovrim lomar, k'ashem shelo yidlik b'zeh, p'tach kach lo yidlik b'acheret. So the Gemara says there's a halacha of chashad with relation to Ner Chanukah. If you have windows or doors facing two different thoroughfares, you have to light in both. So you should not be suspected of not lighting Chanukah candles. Right? Parenthetically, Ritzabi has a tshuva where he suggests that Bizman Hazeh, that there's so many different opinions about when you should light the candles or where you should light the candles, it could be that halacha of chashad is no longer operative because if people don't see candles in this window, they'll assume it's in a different window, they'll assume it's inside the house, they'll assume it's in the doorway of the apartment, they'll assume that you keep Rabbeinu Tam and you light later, they'll assume that you hold like the Gra and you lit earlier. So therefore he suggests it shouldn't apply, and he says Rav Vosner agreed with him on that, so that's an interesting aside. But, Medina Digmara, there's halacha of chashad, and presumably if the community is uniform in their lighting practice, the halacha would still apply. But, on the third line from the bottom, Katav Bala Truma, Rabbeinu Baruch Bala Truma, one of the Chachmei Ashkenaz, Ledidan Shemadlikin Bifnim, Afilu Bishtei Ruchot, Dai Lo Be'echad Men, Shein Hekera Ela Legabei Habayit. Vem Yodim Shishnei Apnachim Shalish Echad. Right? So the Torah quotes from the Sefer Truma, that another Nafkumi, second Nafkumi, the fact you light inside, again this is on page 7-8, another Nafkumi is lighting inside is that there's no need to worry about Chashad, because obviously nobody in the street sees the candles. Right? Nobody's going to suspect you of not lighting candles because you're lighting for the people in the house anyway. And the Tur argues, and this is what we referred to before, Nirash en lakil, av lididan ika chashash, kevan shemadlikin bepedach habayit, ha'ovrin ro'in shelo hidlik v'ika chashad. He says, we light in the doorway, and therefore the passers-by will see the candles. So presumably the Tur is saying they lit in the door when the door was open. Presumably that's what he's saying. Then the door when the door was open. That's all I can, the only sense I can make of it. I'm going to suggest later on that might have been the minhag in Teman. So they lit in the door and the door was open. And therefore he says there is an issue of chashad. So again, how do we come down on this issue?
So instead of having to light everywhere where there's an opening, the Torah says just light...
No, he said you should have to light everywhere where there's an opening, every doorway which is open to the street, because he says our minhag, because we do light in a way that's visible from the street. Right?
But even if you would, visible meaning the door is open, so...
Presumably the door is open. So therefore, you light in all the doors and you have them all open. Presumably that's what he's referring to. Right? So the Torah argues. He says, no, we do light for the people in the street. Therefore, we have to be makfir on the salacha of chashad. Mm-hmm. How do we come down on this? I'll tell you straight up. The Rama quotes the Sefer Truma. The Shtilai Zetim leaves it out also. Cuts it out also. Also. That's again... what are you going to say? There is no other shita. He holds that no, it seems pretty well agreed upon that if you light inside, I mean, it's common sense. If you light inside, you don't have to worry that what people are going to say. He leaves it out. Okay, that's another proof. The third halacha.
If someone lives in an apartment building, for example, where should he light? Should he light by the door? Should he light on his balcony if he has one, or should he light on the mono?
So that's an excellent question. So again, the Gemara says, in the same discussion, that you only have Pirsum and Yisif of the B'nai Rishut HaRabim if you're within 20 Amot, which is about 9.6 meters. However many feet that is, translate it.
It's high.
Yeah. Like a third floor is usually questionable. Third floor depends on the building. Fourth floor and up is for sure not. Because why? Because when people walk in the street, they don't look so high up. They don't look so high up. So if you live on a floor, if you live on the first or second floor, maybe the third floor, and you have a window open to the street, so then there's no question, I mean, seemingly, you should put it in the window facing the street. The only reason why you might not do that is if you think that you should light it in one of two other possible locations, which is either at the door of the apartment building onto the street, or at the door of your apartment outside in the hallway, right? Those would be the two other options, and that rests on the question of whether the apartment building is considered a chatzer, right? The Gemara says you light at petach ha-chatzer, or again, the Gemara says petach ha-bayit, we paskin like Tosfot, the Shulchan Aruch paskins like Tosfot, that you should put it at the Petach HaChatzer, right? So if the apartment building hallways has La Chava HaChatzer, presumably we could start to discuss, maybe you should put a candle at the opening, at the doorway of your building. Everyone should light there. We'll have like 20 menorahs at the doorway of the building. Mm-hmm. So first of all, you could say, well, someone's going to take that away. There was actually a fellow who used to live in the Heights. Rabbi Hoffman will know who I'm referring to. There's a curious fellow. He used to light at the opening to the building, but he got it wrong because I saw he used to light one candle. He lived in the Revive building, now the Chop Chop building, right? And he lit in a potted plant, which was where the building sort of opened to the street, not next to the door of the building, but like at the end of that, you know, the enclave which goes in the building. There was like a big potted plant there, right where the street begins, and he used to put like a candle in that potted plant. So lechora, that is a nice idea, but he wasn't yotze to any of the shitot because it has to be at the petach chatzer, not somewhere further out, which is right next to the street. It has to be the petach chatzer next to the door. Yeah, exactly. It's not part of the building. It's just the street really goes in at that area. But the reason why most normal people don't do that is because the Rishonim say that our chatzerot, certainly our apartment buildings, don't have the halacha of a chatzer, because a chatzer is a place that's used for semi-private usages. People would do their laundry in the chatzer. There's halachot in Masechet Ketubot, a woman doesn't have to cover her hair in the same fully tzniut fashion in the chatzer because it's a semi-private area, right? Nowadays, nobody uses the apartment building, the hallways, for anything. And so, therefore, the Chazanish at least wrote that for the Halacha of Ner Chanukah also, we shouldn't treat it as the chatzer.
Everyone passed the Namakim.
What?
Rabbi Yoshe, the Brisker of everyone's
Namakim. Right, so the Brisker of famously disagreed.
Actually, regular Poskim, Rabbi Yoshe also.
Okay. So for those who didn't hold like that, then presumably another option would be either light at the opening of the building to the street, or in the hallway outside within a tefach of your door. The only thing is that the question is, are you going to lose out? Again, if the Brisker Rav is right and has a halacha of chatzer, so that's probably the best place to light, right in the hallway outside the door.
Outside of the door.
Because based on the Gemara.
To your
again,
apartment.
Yeah, but
he holds you light on Pesach of chatzer.
Yeah, but okay, so then we have to discuss. First of all, then Goyim will probably knock it down here. They're not going to let you light a menorah with a live flame in the Pesach HaChatzer. So Pesach HaBayit, you're certainly Yotzei Yedei Chova. You know, b'diavad. However, you may, because the Chazanish is right, so then you're doing nothing. You're lighting in a place which is no Pirsumi Nisa for the Bnei Rishut HaRabim and so on and so forth. And so therefore, in general, you see in the Sfaradi Poskim, you see in the Tamani Poskim, nobody encourages people to light in the hallways. Presumably because of this cheshbon, that we're not sure that it's a chatzer, and therefore better to put it in a place where at least the people in the apartment will see it. So if you have a window to the street within 20 amot, so you would light it there. If you don't have that, presumably the best thing would be to go for the people, to get the people in the apartment. Again, in Eretz Yisrael, there's a big inyan with the Brisker Rav to light in the apartment, in the hallways or down the bottom, right? Some people light two menorahs. Maybe we could advocate lighting three menorahs, right? One down the bottom, one outside your door in the hallway, and one, you know, in the window, and then one, you know. We could,
people should be as medactic on things like Lashon Hara as they want to be on their Hispanic.
Very good. In other words, right? So, but you're again, with the exception of the Shita, the Prescribe, again, if you light in your apartment, you'll fulfill that much better. You'll at least have peace with the people in the apartment. There's a question: what if I have windows opposite me? You know, even if I'm on the fourth or fifth floor,
so
maybe that's also Pirsumi Nisa of the Rabbim. The Machloket HaPoskim, whether that's considered Pirsumi Nisa of the Rabbim, so that would also be a consideration. But okay, every apartment is a little bit different, so we don't enter too much into the details because we want to try to lay out the broad strokes before we get too much into the details. Because if we don't have the big picture, we're not gonna understand.
So really, in the apartment itself, it pretty much.
I would say that again, unless you have a house which is on the street. Directly, I'd be very nervous to light in, outside the building, because you'll lose the Pirsumi Nisa of the Bnei HaBayit, completely.
And you shouldn't light outside of your apartment door. You should light
in the hallway.
In the hallway,
I'd be very nervous to light in the hallway, and relying on the Brisker Rav, because I'd be afraid that that's not anything. And so therefore, I would say it would be better to light in the apartment, let's say in the window for whoever will see it, or. Or in the tefach hasamuch lepetach, if that's safe, etc. That's what I would. If you have a house that's open to the street, that's directly on the street, we would have to discuss: should you put it in the window, which has presumably these are both for the street and for the people in the apartment, or maybe it would be better to put it outside the door, like the halacha of the Gemara. But we'll get to that. Hopefully, we'll get that later.
If you light it one tefach samach lepetach, and your door opens like that, then you're blocking the door every single time.
No, well, presumably you would light it outside the doorway, not blocking the door, but like.
Oh, the tefach after the door opens up.
No, like if
this is the door and the door opens up all the way until here.
Yes, yeah, so you would put it over here or over here, not in the door. Again, the discussion between Adila and lighting in doorway mamash. I do it like right outside the doorway. Within
so
the tefach.
So if the door opens until here, you would light here.
No, not here. Like here on the wall, or over here, on
the
wall.
But then the door, meaning the door is gonna be closing on it.
No, so you don't put it in the doorway. You put it next to the doorway.
But then it's not on the side of the mezuzah.
Depends which way your door opens, right? If your door opens the wrong way, right? So then you'll have to certainly take that into account with regards to fire safety. And maybe the door will block the mezuzah, in which case you accomplish nothing.
Right.
So that's definitely a very important point, 100%. Okay, so now, the third nafkamina is the time of lighting. Third nafkamina of this idea of lighting only for the Bnei Bayis on the inside is the time of lighting. So what is the time of lighting? So go back all the way back to the Gemara on page 1. The Gemara says, Mitzvata mishitishka hachama ad shetichle regel min hashuk. The mitzvah is to light the menorah, to light the candles, it's how we have to translate the Mishdishka Chama. From the setting of the sun, right? Let's say for now, a working translation, until there's nobody left in the street. So the Gemara says, My lav di kavta adar madlik la. What's enough giving enough until people are no longer in the street? What's enough? What do you mean? Does it mean that if it goes out, you have to relight it as long as there's people in the street? The Gemara says, no. Right? Because we pass in kavta in zakukla. Right, lo the ilom adlik madlik. If you didn't light at that precise moment, right off mishdishka chama, you have until achitich lerikim l'shuk. You should still light. Inami l'shiura, or we should say there is no time limit. You can always light all night long, but you have to make sure it has the amount of oil in it to last until there's no more people in the street. Now the Rif says that's about a half an hour, right? About a half an hour. That's his lashon. About a half an hour. So, therefore, everyone knows that the Hanukkah candles have to burn for half an hour. Right? Some say if you light them inside, you don't have to worry about this. But we assume, that at least l'chatchila, you should have half an hour's worth of oil, even if you're lighting it inside. So there's two opinions here. And now, so for now, let's just focus for a second. What happens after Tichla Regel Min Hashuk? What happens after Adshe Tichla Regel Min Hashuk? So it sounds like in the Gemara, the first opinion, the Ilo Adlik Madlik, that within that time period, if I didn't light, I can still light. Mashma, after that time period is over, there's no point in lighting, you don't fulfill the mitzvah. According to the second opinion, however, presumably you would still continue to fulfill the mitzvah even later. That's how the Rishonim understand it. So it's miduyak that, according to the first opinion, you cannot light the menorah after the zman. You cannot light the menorah after the zman. So now let's look at the Rambam on page 9. Rambam says page 9. En madlikin nerot Chanukah kodem shetishka chama ela im shkiata lo me'achrin lo makdimin. We'll get back to that later. Shachacho hezid v'lo idlikim shkiata chama madlik v'olech ad shetichle regel min ha'shuk. If you didn't light at the exact right time, right? You can light later until there's no more people there. Kamuz manze kamo chatzishah yoter avarz manze eino madlik, right? The time passes, you cannot light. Tzarich liten shem ner kadesh di adolek v'olech adach dichlei regel min hashuk. The Rambam says we hold like both opinions in the Gemara, both options. A, the time limit is once there's no longer more people in the street, which is half an hour, according to the Rambam, like the Rif. And B, you should put the requisite amount of oil, right? If you look in the Magen Mishnah over here on page 10, he quotes, this is the Shita of the Rashba, he doesn't tell you, but this is the Shita of the Rashba, quoted in page 10, the Magen Mishnah. Yesh v'nim farshim, nidchakin v'omrin devada im lo hidlik v'toch shir zeh madlik kol alayla. Datnan kol shmitzvah v'layla kasher kol alayla. Ela shalo asa mitzvah ketikuna. Av toch zman zeh, asa mitzvah ta ketikuna elu dverim zah. Right? So, some say that it's just lechatchila you should light during this time. So the Magen Mishnah doesn't like this opinion, but the Rashba disagreed. But the Rambam says you don't light after this man. The Rashba says no problem, light after this man. No problem lighting after the Zman. Okay. And finally, when we go back, let's go back to the Tosfot again on the first page. So, Aval Mikan Vilach Avar Zman. First opinion, you cannot light after the Zman. Omer Ari Parat. So, therefore, you should light straight away. So the report points out, wait a second. It's like a safek, sfeka dedina. We have two opinions. So therefore, after the Zman is over, here we have a third opinion. After the Zman is over, according to the second opinion of Inami Lishiura, I should still light for Misum Safek. Right? Presumably you would not make a bracha. You would light without a bracha. After the Zman to fulfill the other opinion. Here, that's why it's referred to the Lishiura means, according to the second opinion, Tosfot understands you can light all night. Maybe the Rambam, you could say the Rambam holds that according to the second opinion, you have to light at that moment and no other moment. That's a possible other reading. But Tosfot and most of the Rishonim say no. You have that amount of time. Well, the Rinira, the Adain Lachush Matay Adlik, the Anu Ein Lanu Hekera El B'Rabai Charim Adlikin Bifnim. The Rin says, here's our third Nafkamina for the fact that we light inside. If you light inside, you can light at least until the people go to sleep. Maybe even not, we'll see afterwards, that's also a discussion, but the fact that people light in the street makes no difference. So you can light as long, as late as you want. So again, we have three shitot in the halachan of the Gemara. One is the Rambam, you can't light after this man. Second is the Magid Mishnah from the Rashba, you can light after this man. And the third is the Tosfot Jol Zit Safek, right? Yes, no, and maybe. Three possibilities, right? Presumably without a bracha. And now the Tosfot says, the Ri says, yeah, but for us, it's not an issue entirely. Don't worry about it. This is the basis for the famous Meiri, who says that if you have Seder during the Zman Hadlaka, you shouldn't leave Seder, you shouldn't leave the Beit Midrash to go and light at the Lechatchila time, because you can light later also. You know, and that's Rav Soloveitchik with Kover, that should be the Minhag for the Kolel over here. So it's always a question, you know, whether you follow the Minhag, you don't follow the Minhag. But
I thought the Meiri was a mere curiosity.
The Meiri is a mere curiosity. But in this case, it makes a lot of sense. Yeah. It makes a lot of sense. If you don't think it's me'akev b'diavad, you could, you know, then, or right? So then it would make sense that not to be mevatel Talmud Torah for that reason. You could argue also, you could say, well, no, that's a mitzvah. But either way, just pointing it out. Okay.
I asked by the way, once, whether the pshat is that you have to stay during Seder the whole time, or it's a rishus. So he said it's a rishus. You want to go.
In the new book of Minhagim of the Beit Midrash, it says that most of the Kol people stay for all of Seder. So it's Meduyak that a minority, however, leave to light this man. Okay. Anyway.
Yeah, it's really everyone leaves the Seder.
That's right. So, now, again, what do we say about this? So do we have anything to say about this? So if you look at the tour, the Torah is consistent. Page 11. He says, "Near Ali, Shav l'didan tzarich l'dakdek b'shiur. Shavol b'shemadlikin b'fnim. Kevan shemadlikin b'petach bayit." I knew it's b'ferush. Now it's not just diuk. V'upatuach yeshek alovim v'shav. He says, "We do light inside, but we light with the doors open." So, yeah, I didn't make it up. He says it right here. I should have remembered that. Tafresh ein bet. Right. So he says, I disagree with Tosfot. We have to light bisman because we do have pirsum nisa b'nei rishu d'rabim. Right? So presumably this question will hinge again on our issue. Okay.
When he says le didan tzarich b'shiur, shiur of what time?
Of the time, exactly. Yeah, of the time. If you read a little bit earlier, you'll see it's clear. Fine. Now, so that's that question. Now let's see how the Beit Yosef handles this question, how the Shulchan Aruch rules on this question. Right, so the Beit Yosef says, if we go back to page 8, he's going to photocopy these things 100 times. That's all right. The Beit Yosef says on page 8. In the arrow on the left hand side, he quotes the Rosh. The Rosh said like the Tosfot, you should light misafek, right? The Torah says the Rambam holds you don't light at all, right? Which was what he said, the Pashtut and the Rambam, you don't light at all after this man. The Beit Yosef says, no, the Torah shouldn't have said that. That's the rule according to the Rambam. Shekatav avar zman lo enu madlik, ma'achar she'avn divrei omer madlik, enu madlik elo misafek. The Beit Yosef said, no, the Beit Rambam would agree. You light misafek. You light misafek. Or other way of reading the Beit Yosef is that he's saying, the Rambam is not really against the Rosh. The Rosh just says, a chumrah, you should be yotzei dechova, you should light misafek. Again, so just understand, the Shita of Beit Yosef is, he's adopting the Shita that says you light misafek. Would you make a bracha? Presumably not. Take a look in the Shulchan Aruch on page 12. And again, we're keeping an eye out also to see, is he holding like Tosfot? Is he lighting on the inside? Is he lighting on the outside? We're curious about that. The Beit Yosef, the Shulchan Aruch says, Haga, the Ramah says, Yesh, Rami Shibizan Hazeh, Shemadlikin Bifnim, Eno Tzerech Lizer, Ladlik Kodim, Shetich Lerigim Lashuk, Mekol Mekom Tov Lizer, Gam Bizman Hazeh. Because of this reason, Makdimin, perhaps, the Ramah says, better to try to light Bizman, if you can. The Shulchan Aruch says, Miu Hani Mili Lechatchila, the whole idea of lighting Bizman, is Lechatchila. Avar Zeh Azman, Velo Hidlik, Madlik Voholech Kol HaLayla. Page 12, right? You light all night long. So he's holding like what? Not like we read the Rambam, for sure. He's holding, you do light. Sounds like in the Beit Yosef, you light me safek. Have a look at the Magen Avraham, on the right-hand side. Beit Yosef kadav davi sfeka didina. Dimken mashu she'en levarach. Aval midi satam b'shulchan aruch. Mashma da'ato shi'yivarech. Da'ato shi'yivarech. The Magen Avraham says, according to the Mechaber, according to the Shulchan Aruch, you make a bracha to light. So now we have a big problem. Why would you make a bracha after this man? Who holds you make a bracha after this man? Again, the Rambam certainly not. The Tosfot, the idea of safek, certainly not. The Rashba, the Rashba would say you would make a bracha, the Magid Mishnah, according to that Shita, that it's only a zman l'chatchila. And according to the Tosfot, you light on the inside, you would certainly make a bracha. So what is he relying on? If this is true, the Magid Avraham is right. What is the Beit Yosef? What is the Shulchan Aruch relying on to make a bracha? He didn't discuss the Magid Mishnah in the Rashba. It wasn't even quoted. The Tosfot was noted by the Tur, but the Beit Yosef didn't even discuss it. Sounds the Beit Yosef like it's misafek. Sounds like not like the Magen Avraham. What's the Magen Avraham assuming? So just to see who disagrees with Magen Avraham, the Gra, in the arrow down here, Mihu, Hani Milik, Kevin the Ike Terut Acher Bagmara. So he says because of the other explanation of the Gemara. In other words, misafek. Misafek. And this is in the Maaseh Rav. It says the Gra held that you should light after this man, but you would not make a bracha. You would not make a bracha. That's what he did in Halacha Maaseh. I'm sure he was always reluctant to light this man. He would tell people, if you didn't light this man, you should light without a bracha. Not like the Magen Avraham. Not like the Magen Avraham. So what's the basis of the Magen Avraham? How does that work? So if you look in the Prima Gadim over here, the Prima Gadim says, Sfeik Sfeika Have. It's a Sfeik Sfeika. Ooh, Sfeik Sfeika. Doubled out. Shema halacha kederus batra. First of all, the whole thing is a suffix, right? Like you said in the Beit Yosef. And Shema ragla mitzvah. And maybe the Rashba was right. Maybe the halacha is like the mandam l'shiura. And even if that one's wrong, maybe you are like the Rashba. So sfeik sfeika. Shela, can you make a bracha? Makom chakadam imaverek b'sfeik sfeika. Then this would be the Shulchan Aruch saying, you can't make a bracha b'makom sfeik sfeika. And this has nothing to do with the Tosfot's idea of lighting inside. Nothing to do with the Tosfot's idea of lighting inside. Simply that we take into account the Shita of the Magid Mishnah, the Rashba, we take that into account. And we rely on that, combined with the fact that the whole thing is a Sefek to begin with, to make a Bracha. That's how the Prima Gadim explains it. However, others disagree. The Kaf HaChaim, quotes from Achronim, understood that the Mechaber holds like Tosfot. We rely on Tosfot, that we light on the inside. So we're not makpid about this man. That's how he explains the Magen Avraham. If that's the case, the Shulchan Aruch himself is telling us that we do light on the inside. That we light on the inside. Otherwise, he would never say you could make a bracha. So, how do we put all this together? So one question again is the Magen Avraham right? The Grad didn't think so. Rabbi Yosef, you did. I have the Sefer Birkat Yosef. Didn't think so. He thought that Safek. Read the Shulchan Aruch in light of the Beit Yosef. It's a Safek. And there's nothing to do with Tosfot. Even if you say there is a bracha like the Magen Avraham, we have competing explanations of that. One explanation is the Prima Gadim. The other explanation is, right, that it's a Sfek Sfekah based on the Rashba. The other says the Kafachim, according to the Achronim, that it's based on the Tosfot lighting on the inside. How do we... This Cheshbon is the basis of Rav Avadya's Tshuva, Nechavadat. In Chel Gimel Tzimun Aleph, we have on page 17, we don't have time to go through it now, but that's the basis of his Tshuva, where he says that you should make every possible effort to light at the Zman, within the Zman. Why? Because even if you say you can make it, even though he says he allows you to make a bracha after the Zman, but that's b'diavad, might only be misafek, right? Might only be misafek, sfek sfeka, or something like that, right? And therefore he gives the nafkamina would be that if the husband, the husband normally lights, right? But the husband's going to be away from home during the entire Zman, and only the wife is home, right? So it's better that she should light and be motziyeh de chova. The husband's also yotzei de chova with her lighting, and even if it says he's coming back at like 11 o'clock at night after the Zman, she should light at the right Zman. Conversely, if she's not home, he should light without her, and she'll be yotzei de chova. She may never see the candles. He should light without her. That's what he says. Because you make every effort, every possible effort to light at the Zman, so it's not that you have to rely on this.
Is she, in the Sfardi case, like, would she be also motzi the kids and children?
Absolutely, right. One menorah for the family, we spoke about last week. And as long as an adult, as long as someone who's over bar mitzvah likes the menorah, yetzei dechovah. Now, just to point out, again, before we talk about how we deal with this issue, a very, very important nekudah that we have. It comes out in the Rav Avadya's in a sefer called Ma'ayan Omer, which a fellow asked Rav Avadya random questions. He asked him random questions, and that's it's a lot later. Let's see, I have it here on page 32. Skip forward for a second. He asked Rav Avadya, "Zman al dekan yod Chanukah lechatchila in toch chatzis shah chatzis dekoravim." In Cain, Adam shemegiyah chachatia ach b'shad rishonot shel alayla, hey, mu yadlik or yishtot adlik. That's halacha lemaaseh. Someone's going to come in the first hours of the night. In the first hours of the night, should he get his wife to light? I mean, you yourself wrote, in other words, he's saying to me, you yourself wrote in Chavidat, you should get your wife to light, unless you're going to be bizman. So what about if he comes home like, let's say, 7 o'clock? 7 o'clock? So he says, Shot rishonot shel alayla ma yesh bezeh. Rav Avadya said, you can light at 7 o'clock, lo nora. And in the brackets, hayom ken hivanti. So this Talmid Chacham, again, it's not Rav Avadya himself saying it. He's saying that what? The time changes. Now this is famously the Shita of the Brisker Rav. The Brisker Rav used to say that you should try to have your candles lit as long as there's still people in the street. And if nowadays there's people in the street till longer than half an hour after sunset, in fact, as Rav Shechter points out, there's very few people in the street for the first half hour after sunset. People in the street are from 6 o'clock and on. Right? So therefore the time of Tichlei Regen changes. It's a flexible time. So that's very, very important. That's very, very important. And again, according to this account, which is not 100% reliable, but according to this account, Rav Avadya would rely on the Halacha LeMaaseh for what? That you should to light at a later time. To light at a later time and not, you know, mess up the order to get the wife to light and this like that. As long as there's still people in the street. So let's say if you live here in New York, so let's say without a question, the streets are hopping till at least 10:30, probably much later also. The streets are bustling until at least 10:30, 11. So according to that, you'll light when you get home. If you're going to get home after this man, then you would have your wife light. But again, that doesn't take away from the fact that Rav Avadya tells everyone they should light bizman, mamash bizman, not to rely on this for no reason, but just an important nekuda. Okay, now ledidan. How do we come out on this? Again, we pegged this as a nafkamina for whether you light on the inside or on the outside. So the Shtileze team, he leaves out the Rama. Okay, he leaves out the Rama that you don't have to worry about this. Okay, but here it's not just the Rama that we have to deal with. It's the Shulchan Aruch himself who said that you light after this man. So he says on page 18. Back to page 18 now. He says on page 18, Sivkatan Chet. Madlik u'mevarech. Magen Avraham. Okay, so now, what do we say about that? Well, that depends on the Primer Gadim versus the Kafachayim. We don't know how he understood it. I will say, for the purpose of supporting my thesis, which is that the Shtilei Zeitim held we light on the outside, I will say that this is relying on the Prima Gedim. The Prima Gedim is right. If you make a bracha, it's because of Sfek Sfekat, not because of Tosfot, not because of lighting on the inside. If someone wants to argue and say, no, the Magen Avraham is saying that the Shulchan Aruch relies on the Tosfot and they lit on the inside, you will bring this as an evidence that in Teman they lit on the inside, that the Shtilei Zeitim relies on the Magen Avraham. But I'm not so sure that it's a winning argument, because I have the Prima Gedim in my corner, an alternative explanation of the Magen Avraham, that you make a bracha because we take into account the Shita of the Rashba that you can always light after the Zman. So I think I'm safe here. However, I recognize that it's a problem. What else do we have on this topic? The Maritz says in the Etz Chaim, second error, Zman like a Nechanuka ad sof shkiyat hachama. We'll get back to that. So that's not very helpful. He quotes not like the Rambam. You do light after this man. Do you make a bracha? He doesn't tell us. Rav Tzabi, page 20, says on the left hand side. Page 21 on the right hand side. Page 21. And he tells you to look in the Achronim. So he relies on this Magen Avraham, this Shtilei Zeitim. And again, just to boss our Lachalama, I said we do rely on the Magen Avraham. In page 22, I copied the page from the Sidur Knesset HaGdolah of Rav Yosef Tzuberi, where he also says that Madlik V'olech Kol HaLayla U'mevarech. Also Rav Tzuberi. This is a very popular Sidur that he put out with his halachic instructions. So this seems to be pretty well accepted by the Magen Avraham again, but I will claim that that's not because they lit on the inside. Okay. Just to round out the section of where you light, that's in terms of this, whether you can light after this man. What about where you light? So what do the poskim say about that? So again, I wanted to say from the Shtilei Zeitim in three different places, sounds like you light on the outside. If you look at the Shulchan Aruch HaMekutzar on page 20, Ritzavi says, you light inside the house. And we saw already the footnote in the Shtilei Zeitim who said in Sana'a, they lit inside the house next to the doorway. So what do I do with that? So I could say two things. First, I could say, the minhag changed. Time the Shtilei Zeitim, they lit on the outside. By the end of the 19th century, they lit on the inside. Okay, times got tough, whatever it was. I think I have another answer. And that is, if you look in the Halichot Teman, on page 25, this is Rav Kapach's memories of Teman. So, Ayein, our first shiur. He says, Avirata Chanukah Murgeshet Efor Beit HaKnesset. We talked about this genre, right? How everyone was from and how wonderful that was. You know? So firstly, that's like the footnote in Shtilei Zeitim. We now have two edim that they used to light in the bottom of the floor next to the door. Right? And they lit inside the house, mashma. You see light coming from all the doors. So here I have my support. That they used to light with the door open. Because otherwise, if the door is closed, you wouldn't see light streaming out of all the doorways. That's my diuk. It could be that the door was open all the time there. I don't know. Could be there was no door. Maybe there was no door in those doorways. I don't know. You have to ask someone who was in Sana'a. But he says, you saw light in the street. So obviously there was Pirsum Nisa Neri Shuta Rabim. Obviously, probably the door was open. I'll add one more piece. And again, just to say, this idea of lighting the door probably goes back. Look, if you like on page 24, the Maritz in his instructions for the Baalei Batim in Arabic, in page 24, Mitzvat Midvei Sofrim An Tasraj Al Saraj Ale Al Abwab. Page 24. The Maariv says the Mitzvah Midvei Sofrim. Who can translate? An Tasraj Al Saraj
Al
Al Abwab.
The door.
On the doors. On the, you light the Saraj Shraga. You light the candles. Ale Abwab. Al Abwab. On the doorways, plural. Right?
So what's the exact translation?
The mitzvah is to light the candles, to kindle the candles on the doorways. So, and that's his instructions to the Baalei Batim HaPshutim. Right? So obviously they were lighting at the doorways. Were they lighting on the outside or on the inside with the door open? That we can't tell. But this is my thesis, and therefore I think we should, again, I would say, I'm not a posek, but I would say we should try to make every effort to, if we're in this position that we can, get the Pirsumei Nisa for the Bnei Rishut HaRabim. Because that was the Minhag in Timan, at least I think in time of Shtei Zitim, maybe even later. But at the same time, we should try to get the Pirsumei Nisa for the Bnei Abayit also. You have to work in each individual case how to balance those two. Rav Avadya also encourages, there's a whole tumult. Should we, for those who use light inside, should you change the minhag and light on the outside? Okay, so Rav Avadya talks about it. Also, he also encouraged people to light on the outside in a way that's visible to the people in the street. Bizman hazeh. Okay, we started a touch late, so maybe we can go a little bit later also. I want to talk about what is the correct zman hadlaka lechatchila. I'll just say a few things. Just a few short things about that, and to at least to come to halacha l'maaseh what our minhag is and where it comes from. So we saw the Gemara said Mishatishka hachama is the zman. So if you look, and again we saw the riff, etc. Half an hour. Look in the Ran on page 34. The Ran writes, "Lav lemeimer shalosh, etc. He says, "Lav lemeimer shalosh yerashay ladli kodem zmanze. You could light right before sunset also. Ladli gal enu mivrech. Shabbat de Shabbat yochir. Shabbat ladli kodem shkiat hachama. Lerabba damar b'shalay pirkin. Nishka hachama ve'ben hashmashot. Right? Ela ikar mitzvada kamar." The Ikar Mitzvah is immediately after, again, whatever time Shabbat begins, presumably right after sunset, that's Ikar Mitzvah. You can light it slightly before also on page 34. Right? Slightly before also. Right? In Ratzal Akdim, Magdim, Avidre Bahag, Nira Dedavka Nakad Mishka Chama, Erev Shabbat, Nami Madlik Achar Shkia. The Bahag holds, you should light Chanukah candles immediately after sunset on Fridays. Why? Because the Bahag holds that Shabbat begins 2 minutes after sunset. And the mitzvah, you must light it in exactly that exact time, right? From when the sun sets, another 2 minutes. You should light it. So we don't, obviously don't follow that. We would consider that to be a sefek isur skila, ben hashmashot, right? But what do you see from the Ran and the Bahag? That shkiat hachama sounds like it's to be taken as tchilat shkia, the beginning of ben hashmashot, the beginning of twilight. Now, whenever that is. The beginning of, again, commonly taken nowadays to mean when the sun sets. Not seta kochavim. But rather when the sun sets. Right? When the sun sets, when Shabbat begins. That's the time, immediately at that time. And that seems to be the shita of the Rambam we saw earlier. Right? We would call it tchilat shkia. If you look at the Mordechai on page 35, the Mordechai says, Mishitishka chama, pirush misof shkiat chama, dainu seta kochavim. Mordechai says Shkiat HaChama should not be taken literally as the beginning of Ben HaShemashot. It refers to the end of Ben HaShemashot, the end of the sunsetting process, which is when the stars come out.
So why didn't the Gemara say that?
Ah, well, he says the Gemara sometimes uses Shkiat HaChama to mean Tzeit HaKochavim. He gives the example of a fast day. Fast day ends at Shkiat HaChama, and there the Posse Rishonim say that means Tzeit HaKochavim. Again, Rambam may disagree about that, but, right? So the Mordechai says it means Tzeit HaKochavim. So we already have two Shitot. The Ran says it means Shkia, the beginning of Ben HaShemashot. The Mordechai says it means the end of Ben HaShemashot. And if you look here, he tells you that when is that? That's Hey Milin. So that's referring to Zman of Ben Utam, whenever that is. Okay. And again, we already saw in the Gemara that we are supposed to light at precisely the right time. Precisely the right time. That's what we saw in the Gemara. Right? You must light. So we already have Machlok. What time should we light? Now, if you go back to look at the tour on one of these mini tours that we had here, the tour on page 8. The tour on page 8 says, Mitzvata misof shkiat hachama ad chatzi sha'a. So the Torah rules like the Mordechai. Seemingly, sof shkiat hachama. That's what it seems like. Right? Because the Mordechai says, sof shkiat hachama ad chatzi sha'a. However, the Beit Yosef says a different pshat. A different pshat, another way of reading this tour. If you look at the Beit Yosef on page 11, it's not here on the tour, it's on page 11. He says, Mitzvata mishitishka chama katav aran. The Ran wrote, it means the beginning of twilight. Right? And that's Divrei Ram and Kedivrei Bahag, that it means right after sunset. And he says in the first wide line, the Beit Yosef on the left hand side, page 11, Nira shedikdek rabbeinu lichtov misof shkiat hachama mishum de tchilat shkiat hachama adayin ayom gadol kmo shekatvu atosfot. He says the tour doesn't mean sof shkia in the sense of tzitta kochavim, like the Mordechai. He means what the Balei HaTosfot call shkia shnia, second shkia. What's that a reference to? That's a reference to the second shkia of Rabbeinu Tan. Right? Famous machloket is tzitta kochavim 4 mil, right, the 72 minutes, let's say for now, after sunset, or is it 13 and a half or 18 minutes, whatever it is, after sunset? If it's 72 minutes, then the shkia shnia, the shkia is 13 and a half minutes prior to that. So he understands that the shkia shnia of Rabbeinu Tam. So now I have again a problem with the Magen Avraham, because when I go back to the Shulchan Aruch on page 37, Shulchan Aruch says, En madlikin ner chanukah kodim shitshka chama, ela im sof shkiyata. So he rules like the tour. So how did the Beit Yosef understand the tour? He understood the tour to refer to the Shkia Shnia. Shkia Shnia, not Tzitta Kochav, not like the Mordechai. And nevertheless, the Magen Avraham says in Siv Katan Aleph, Sof Shkia Ainu Tzitta Kochavim. So, again, I don't understand. I put it out there, but look at the Gra. Also, he picked up on this, that it is tchil, according to the Beit Yosef, it is the beginning of Ben HaShemashot. Just Ben HaShemashot starts 13 and a half minutes before Zman Rabbeinu Tam. Like, let's say 58 and a half minutes after Shkia, let's say for now, that understanding. In which case, the Magen Avraham is not correct. However, the Magen Avraham is certain, that's certainly the ruling of the Mordechai. And the Bach says, and he says, I'm citing the Bach. You look in the Bach tells you the Torah said Shof Shkia, he meant Tzitta Kochavim like the Mordechai. So we really have a machloka between the Bach and the Beit Yosef. What's Pshat in the Torah? The Beit Yosef said Pshat in the Torah is the beginning of Shkia Shnia of the Rebbe Tam, and the Bach says Pshat in the Torah is like the Mordechai Tzitta Kochavim. The Megan Avraham rules like the Bach. Shulchan Aruch presumably would have followed his own opinion. Nevertheless, the opinion of the Megan Avraham became accepted, and I don't know if it's such a nafkamino between the Beit Yosef and the Magen Avraham, because the Beit Yosef only makes sense according to Rabbeinu Tam. So in Teman they didn't keep Shabbat till Zman Rabbeinu Tam. They kept Shabbat, again, question what Rabbeinu Tam means, and this is a very confusing sugya, and I have a lot of difficulties in the sugya, but in Teman Lamaseh they didn't keep Shabbat till 72 minutes after the sunset. They kept Shabbat much earlier, more like the other Sephardic countries, 20 minutes after Shkia, 30 minutes after Shkia, right? It's quite close to the equator. Right, so they didn't keep Shabbat for so long after sunset, 30 minutes after Shkia, 35 minutes after the Shkia, right? But not 72 minutes after the Shkia. So if you would say that that's what Rabbeinu Tam means, it would have no relevance to them, right? So Lamaaseh they lit. So when did they light? Magen Avraham says Tzitta Kochavim. So just again, Rav Avadya takes that to mean 13 and a half minutes after sunset, despite the fact that he holds like Rabbeinu Tam, etc. But that's for another time. When did they light Lamaaseh? With this will end. If you look at Rav Tzavi, going back to page 21, I think it was. Going back to page 20, he says, "Min hageinu shizman adlaka usamuch me'at kama dakot lifnei tzedek kochavim." So I should say the Shilai Zetim said like the Magen Avraham, tzedek kochavim. That's I should first put that out there. Shilai Zetim said tzedek kochavim. So before we look at Rav Tzavi, just take a quick look. All right, so anyway, let's see Rav Tzavi. He says, Samuch me'at lifnei tzedek ochavim. What does he mean? Lo yakdim lo yacher. And he tells you in the footnote, it means 15 minutes after sunset. I don't know why he calls that lifnei tzedek ochavim. 15 minutes after sunset, he says, that's this man hadlaka. And you're going to be a few minutes longer. Right? Like the Nezid, like the Magen Avraham, tzedek ochavim. Tzedek ochavim. And if you look in his footnote, look back in his, lachen b'chama mekomot, latin b'tekes, ahad filat mincha, they leave after mincha, that's what they used to do in Teman, page 21. Yeah, right. They used to pray mincha, leave the Bet Knesset, go light the candles, and come back. How is that going to get them to 15 minutes after sunset? Presumably, they took a long while to pray mincha. They prayed mincha a little bit after sunset, I guess. That's what it sounds like. Right? Mesaimim Lacher, he says, they used to go back and light, and they lived at 15 minutes after, that's really close, 15 minutes after Shkia. And they came back for Arvit. They used to wait until after Arvit, right? Then he has the footnote, people would send somebody from the shul, they would stay and learn, and they would send one of the people in the family would go and light and then come back to Bet Knesset. How do you deal with this, right? In order to not disrupt the shul, right? But that's what he claims. If you look at, on the last page, on page 44, Tshuva the Chaim Vashalom from Reb Chaim Kassar, they asked him this question. It was the one of the last older rabbinim who came from Teman. They asked him, what time should light Ner Chanukah? He quotes the Machloket. Rambam, Shulchan Aruch, the Rambam says from sunset. Shulchan Aruch says like Zman Rabbeinu, like Tzedek Ochavim, which is Zman Rabbeinu Tam. Last line, Olam Nogim Kein Ladlik Achat Filat Arvit. Our minhag is we light at Tzedek Ochavim. How do I know that? Because people pray Arvit and they leave. That's like the second minhag Rav Tzabi referred to. Right? In Halichot Teman, it says, like the first minhag, they used to leave after mincha. So obviously some places would lived after mincha, some places left after Arvit. Could be there was dependent on this machloket. The ones who left after mincha were really lighting like the Rambam, right after the Shkia. And the people who left after Arvit were lighting at Tzedek Ochavim. Or you could take Rav Tzabi's version, right? That that they were lighting after mincha, but they got home and they lit at Tzedek Ochavim, right? So you know that it's, and again, it's a matter of minutes, literally a matter of minutes. Almost impossible to know. Again, the ones who prayed did after Arvit certainly lit at Tzedek Ochavim. The ones who lit between, it's very, I don't know how you would figure out at what exact moment. If it's a matter of 15 minutes here or there, I don't know how you would know exactly when they finished mincha. Every shul would have been slightly different. Right? When they exactly finished it. And I'll even throw in one more thing. This is my final hara. This is my own observation. I want to hope to ask Rav Tzabi about it. Be neder when I go to Eretz Yisrael on Monday. If you look in the Maharitz, we had the Maharitz. Oh, by the way, Rav Tzuberi also in the Ketzidur Knesset Kbas says that we light at Tzedek Ochavim. Right? If you look in the Maharitz, not the one on page 24, but the other one that we had, where was that one? I think it was earlier. Yeah. This will close on page 19. This I think is very interesting, and it's a mystery. He says Zman Adlekat Chanukah Ad Sof Shkiat Rachama Dain Tzedek Ochavim. So first point in the text he says Tzedek Ochavim, like the Shtei Zitim, like Rav Tzabi, like Rav Tzuberi, like Rav Kesar. That seems to be again the most straightforward reading, like the Megan, like the Shtilei Zetim, right? Like the Megan Avraham. But if you look in the Arabic, in the instructions to the Balei Batim, who would have read this Tiklal, it says, and I asked Professor Tzadik to help me out here, my Arabic is not that great. He says, Wasraj al Hanukkah, the Hanukkah candles, Sraj is Shraga, candle, and, or Asraj means maybe you light them, that's right, you kindle them. Asraj is. Israj, right? Al Hanukkah, right? But he says, and Majub al Shams. So, Prophet Sadiq translated that for me as the time, Majib is Bibi'at Hashemesh. Sounds like at the setting of the sun. Lo kabalu la ba'ad. Not before and not after. So, the Bi'at Hashemesh, the coming of the sun, means the setting of the sun.
Right.
That would be, if I was a balabat, as they say in Ladino, if I was a balabas, I was reading this, I would have assumed you light it right after sunset. With the setting of the sun.
What they called that in.
So, yesh lachkor, what this phrase means, but if Rav Hislik is right, then it means bi'ata shemesh, Biyad Hashem Shen Chazal means, doesn't mean Tzedek Ochavim.
It means Shkia. In Brachot, the Sugya, the beginning.
Okay. But I would have assumed Al Shams, the reference to Al Shams. It certainly doesn't. He should have added a clarifying line saying, I mean when the stars come out 15 minutes later. But I won't insist on it. I'm just pointing it out there as a kind of something that might have to be explained more closely. And again, supporting the possibility, just the possibility that there were places that lit after Mincha before Tzedek Ochavim, more like the opinion of the Rambam. But either way, nobody lit 58 and a half minutes after the sunset. It's either after the sunset or 15 minutes afterwards. In New York, that would come out to maybe 16 minutes afterwards. Certainly the Zman L'Chatchila. I'll just end with what the Mishnah Berurah points out, which is that it's Midyak in the Rambam that the Zman is at sunset, and the L'Chatchila usually light within a half an hour of sunset. Not of this when the stars come out. So the Mishnah Berurah recommends the practice that you should make sure whatever you do to light within a half hour of sunset. So if someone would ask me, what time should I light L'Chatchila, I'd probably recommend to them with what the practice of the Chazon Ish was, which is to light at Tzedek Ochavim within a half hour after sunset. Right? So that way you fulfill the mitzvah according to all opinions, right? You fulfill the mitzvah according to all opinions. If you let's say 15 minutes after sunset, 16 minutes after sunset, 20 minutes after sunset.
20 in Eretz Yisrael.
Right, 20 in Eretz Yisrael. Right. So because Tzedek Ochavim, according to some opinions, is a little bit later. So, 20 minutes after Shkia, but within a half an hour of Shkia. But again, with the emphasis that you don't need to go crazy about this, because we have the Pesach of the Shteir Zedim. You can make a bracha even after the Zman, right? And even if you say not like that, even if you say you're only fulfilling the mitzvah misafek, sfeka, whatever it is, but you still have the briskerov to rely on, the bizman is there, people are in the street till longer, and therefore, you don't need to go crazy about lighting at exactly the right time, certainly if there's compelling reasons not to do so. All right.